because we did have the opportunity, but I didn't take it to teach you. I just wanted to please you so you keep coming. So I failed you, really, because I was acting as the role as I got it. Isaiah chapter 6. When you get there, chapter 9. All right, y'all all starting that early now. Don't mess with me this morning. I'm trying to stay straight. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Now look, I always like to give you scripture because I don't want to just be making up nothing. Because your life depend on it. Mine depend on it. I got to give an account to God. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born. Who was that? That was Jesus. And unto us a son is given. Who was that? That was Christ. See, God gave Christ. Mary had Jesus. Y'all, I know. See, God gave Christ. Christ was the Son of God. Sitting on Mary had, and they told him, see, Jesus was humanity. Christ is divinity. Yeah. See, what makes you powerful? You live in two dimensions. Yeah. Yeah. Humanity walking around, this pastor, this Charles, this, you know what I'm saying, this James, this Susan, this Mark, that's my humanity. But my divinity is I'm a child of God. So I can go in two different dimensions on you. It depends on how you act. Come on now. I got the power to speak in the name of Jesus. But if I'm not saved, all I am is a natural. All you know is the humanity part of me. And I can give you something just for you to walk away with. Everybody that's not saved can be saved. They just choose not to be. They don't go and come back and then get the stamp you saved and jump back in the ship and come back down. They become a Christian. No, it was appointed unto every one of us. We all get the opportunity to be saved. Some, when they approached him and presented it, they said, no, that ain't me. But they could be saved today. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So now we understand that when Jesus approached them and he talked to them according to the scriptures in Matthew's, he knew that when Peter said, thou art the Christ, he knew that he's talking now heaven talk. Because if he'd have said Jesus, he'd have been right. Because you know he is Jesus. But Peter went up on him and Peter said, thou art the Christ. Jesus said, ho, somebody done tapped in. Somebody in here listening to the Father, because you couldn't have known that except the Father revealed it. See, this is where we get a lot of people that's reading the Bible. They read it because of what it said, but it have not been revealed what he's saying. This was written almost 2,000 plus years ago. It is true, but the question is, what is he saying today? I know you know what he said. It's called Logos. That's the written word. I'm going to have to get Sister Adams to come and teach us in terms of the Rhema. See, the Rhema is what he's saying out of what he said. Did you stay in there long enough for him to tell you something out of what you read? Or did you just take what you read and left? That's why he said the letter killeth. Meaning you got the letter. You got the word, you got the rule, but it's going to hurt you if you haven't heard him expound on what he said. Because you need a word for today. Amen? So now, verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for what? Flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee. He said, I know you couldn't. When he said flesh and blood, he's saying your preachers and the apostles and all them, they couldn't have told you that. The prophets back then, they couldn't have told you that. Because that has not been taught yet. He said, I know you had to get that from the Father. It's right here in your Bible. He says, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, what? But my Father which is in heaven. See, I want to keep you in your Bible so that you can rightly divide the word. Amen. So that you would have an insight, not just information. A lot of people got information, but they don't have insight. Right now, if somebody came and threw you a book on the table talking about auto mechanics, and if you're not an auto mechanic, that book is Greek to you, even though you can read it. You can tell them what the word says, but you have no understanding of the words you're saying. Well, that's the same thing that can happen when it comes to the scriptures. We can have the word, but we don't have an understanding about the word that we have. So God has to increase or enlarge our revelation, not information. You got information, but we need some revelation. I need some insight on what I do have. Am I making this plain? Now watch this. He says, verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. When he said upon this rock, he was signifying upon this rock or upon this revelation. What revelation? That what Peter just said. See, Peter, he said, since you tapped into God talking to you, that's how the church is built. On the revelation of God talking to you. And he said, upon that rock is how I'm going to build my church. Not on information, but it's going to be on revelation. See, the Father going to have to talk to you. See, that's the purpose of your relationship with God. So it can become intimate. So into me, you see. I'll let you see deeper if me and you got a relationship. You just don't walk up to somebody on the street talking about, I'd like to sleep with you. Come on, police. Because we don't have no relationship. We can't get intimate. That's perverted. You're going to jail for soliciting, whatever. Because there's nothing established there. We got a lot of people violating the scriptures. Because they don't have a relationship with God, but they trying to be intimate with him. Am I helping you any? Now we're going to get back to where we're going to shout a little bit, and I want you to. But now this word rock is a Greek word, which is Petra, which comes from a massive rock. He's saying this word rock, or the revelation that I'm building on, is coming from the foundation. See, I'm just a chip off the block. Don't come up like you got a whole nother block all of your own. No. The Bible says, it's in your scriptures, that they had another Jesus. I don't want to go there, but you know what I'm saying? When you are, if Jesus had to say what the Father said, you got to say what the Father said. What makes the church powerful is when we all stay in alignment. Where the church get off is you start saying stuff that God ain't never said. But you saying you came in his name. And now it becomes confusion because you can't back it up according to scripture. You can tell me understanding even what you think. But what difference does that make? It's written is what we're looking for. Because the validity of the text is it was already what the Father said. Not that you've been studying, you came up with something totally contrary to what the scripture's been saying. The Bible call that doctrine of devils. That's something that's contrary to what God already been saying. Are you hearing me? Okay, let's kind of begin because I want to. See, Jesus is the rock that we build in our life on. Jesus is the rock that everything you possess in the kingdom of Christianity, it stems from the rock of whatever happened to Jesus. If it didn't happen to him, it can't happen to you. If he didn't do it, you can't do it. If he didn't provide it, you can't get it. If you get it, you're coming from another. You don't have to write these down. I just wrote them so that you would have them for your own clarity and that I can put it on the tape. But in Genesis chapter 28, verse 18, see, that rock that transformed Jacob's pillow into a pillar is called the place of Bethel. It was the place of God. See, Jacob was laying on a pillow. It was hard. He was in a hard place in his life, but he had got so used to it, he didn't even realize that it was a pillar. This is a rock, man. You ever laid on a rock? Have you ever slept outside? You know, remember them times you messed up and it got real rough, you couldn't go back? Them couple nights you was out there, you were sleeping on a pillar. Some a hard place in your life. But Jesus came and made it a pillow. See, Jesus is the only one can turn our rough places to smooth. He took made honey out of a rock. See, this is why we're still walking in the victory we got, because of the power of God that came and made our crooked thing straight. See, it was based upon that rock in Exodus chapter 17. See, God has already given unto us. This was the rock. Watch this, my God, my God. See, this was the rock that Israel, when they took it, it was a water of refreshment. This is, see, the Bible says you can come to some people and they like a fresh glass of water. Have you ever ran into somebody and they get to talking to you about the power of God and the hope and the grace? You in a dry place, a rough place, and they remind you of what you can be, you should be, and what you gonna be if you act right. They become a fresh glass of water. I just left these people over here. We all gonna miss it. We all going under. We all gonna die. I ran into one of the saints talking about him. And they spoke so well, encouraged me so good. It was like a fresh glass of water. Yeah. Have you ever been around a bunch of negative folks? Yeah. Everything they talk to you about is just doom and gloom, and we ain't gonna never have. We can't. I'm not trying to hear that. I need to be around somebody talking about God can, God will, God shall. See, I'm talking about I got to build my life on this rock. See, for a child of God, Jesus is your answer. He's the rock that you build your life on. He's the revelation that got you up, out, over, and into. He don't make sense to the world. The world say it's foolishness. But to the child of God, it's life. A word from God would change your whole world. Some folk don't even want to hear God. And that was like us seasons back. You know, when we had missed it and astray, we didn't want to hear God, even though we knew him. But somehow we got away from him. And it wasn't until we returned back to him that we started benefiting from him again. That's what that whole repentance is. But now watch this, good God Almighty. In Exodus 17, this was the same rock that Moses sat upon with Aaron and Hur. And when they held his hands up, he gained the victory. Amen. He was on the rock of revelation, the power that God can do what God said he'll do. What are you believing for? What are you hoping for? What situation is standing in front of you that you got to get on that rock? See, we're going to have stuff in our life that's going to be bigger than us. But it ain't bigger than my God. Come on, somebody. Don't let your problem tell you through. No, you go to your problem and tell them about the bigness of your God. I know you got me. I know I missed it. I know. But God, the grace of God, the mercy said no. I know what the rules say. I know what the facts say. But mercy said no. God was merciful with me. His grace is sufficient. It's covering me. So we're walking in the authority of God. We're living up under the grace of God. But watch this in Judges chapter 6 and 21. I wrote it down so you can hear this. In Judges 6 and 21, this is the same rock that Gideon used as a fiery sacrifice at the altar. See, you got to know something about your God. See, you got to listen to the people. I heard something the other day. Just bless me. I never thought about it, but it's real. There is different levels of understanding. Somebody can tell you about something and you can comprehend what they're saying. Somebody can even show you the fruit of what they did, and you can even celebrate what it did. But there is, watch this, there is a measure called experience. You won't have the greater understanding until you experience what they done. See, you can tell me about $1 million. You can tell me about, my friend told me, he says, man, I didn't understand. I go by and see them people at the graveyard, and they in there pushing flowers around. He said, now he got real spiritual on me. Don't they know that their loved one is not in that body no more? And that their loved one is absent from the body and present with the Lord? That is true. But there's an experiential knowledge at that next level. He didn't understand until he lost his wife and found himself up in that graveyard looking for his, come on somebody. See, folks sound good and they talk good. But I'm here to tell you, you better know the Lord. You better have experiential knowledge. First thing I'm going to ask you, have you ever had that? Have you ever experienced that? Don't tell me what cancer victims should do. Have you ever had cancer? Have anybody came and told you you're going to die in a cup? Don't sit here and tell me about somebody how they should act because what you read. Have you ever had that? Have you ever lost a child? Have you ever came home and your husband is laying in bed with another woman? Don't tell me about no gospel until you come to a revelation about that gospel. See, you got a lot of folks with head knowledge, and they become dangerous because they don't have no experience. See, that rock, you don't know nothing until you need him to be that rock for you. Yeah, the rock ain't real. They don't. Yeah, but that lets you get in the hole. And you need that rock to be the real rock. You'll get another revelation about the rock. So all I'm saying is Jesus was that rock. You say, Pastor, where you going? Jesus. We done sang it. Yes, Lord. I ain't got a chance to get to the rock. My God, my God. I didn't know. Look at here. But the Lord still blessed and he used everybody. But look at here. I'm just getting this plane in the air. I look up. They talking about it. We're about to land. No, we ain't. We're going to ride around one more time. I'm looking for Jesus. Yeah. I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for Jesus. Just let me buy. Five from you. Yeah. But watch this. Let's stay with it. Because y'all know now we on time. But in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and 49. See, this is the same rock that David used to bring down that Goliath. See, that rock. See, you can go throw a rock at somebody. It ain't going to do all that. Except you own that rock, the revelation of Jesus, and you in the power of God, you can't see the manifestations of God. See, we got folks that's not in the power of God. You come in the name of the Lord, but the Lord ain't confirming what you're talking about. The Bible says signs, miracles, and wonders follow. That's when God said amen, then I let you use my power. God ain't amen in everything you see that is said is in the Lord. Am I preaching it right? Let me just give you the introduction. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. I know. Don't look at me like that. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. My God. I'm going to lay it out for you, then you can pick it up and we'll pick it up at another time. But I'm not going to drive by it because I want you to get it. Hebrews chapter 6. Say, it's all right, preacher. So you got to know your pastor's heart. My heart is to feed you according to the knowledge of God. I want you to know your Bible. Amen. Because we in trying times, y'all. And the game is up. You know, we tired of playing. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of going through stuff just to be going through. I'm tired of going through stuff and got to go through it again. because I didn't know. I've been hoping willy-nilly, hoping this work. I can know, but know, but know if I got the power of God. Amen. If I learn to wait on the word of God, I can have the assurance that what I'm doing is right. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. I'm going to give you this layout, this format, then I'm going to come back next Sunday and develop it. Amen. Because we're going to deal with the doctrine. And I'm going to teach this all the way out. It may take me a couple good months, but I'm going to teach you right. That I'm telling you, you'll walk away from here with a degree. Come on, somebody. Not just a measure. Some folks got a measure of stuff. But I'm talking about have a degree. I mean, you got a bona fide knowledge of what you're talking about. See, that word doctrine, is dealing with in terms of logos. And the word, see, you go to school and you learn doctrine. If you're a nurse, you go into the nursing field so they can instruct you and teach you how to become a nurse. So what they do, they teach you the doctrine of nursing. So that as a disciple, when you leave that place, you go out and teach or practice what you've been taught. So this is where he come up with the scripture, the doctrine of Christ. I'm only teaching you what Christ stands for, not doctrine like this is our band of people, we coming together. That's how people don't misuse the word. Doctrine is nothing but logos, is nothing but in terms of teaching, training, and instructing. That's all doctrine is. You deal with doctrine every day, and you go to school to get doctrine. That's why they call it, you get a doctorate degree, because you ran to the level of now you should be sufficient and adequate enough to go out and. I'm just telling you the doctrine of Christ. If I said it like this, this is the teaching of Christ. This is the teaching of mechanics. This is the teaching of nursing. This is the teaching of culinary arts. We're just using the term doctrine. But we sometimes, because people don't know how to appropriate the word, we done took that word. Now you talking about a band of people. Now y'all going to indoctrinate me. You got indoctrinated when you got your degree. Associates, you know what I'm saying, masters, bachelors, they indoctrinated you. They taught you the level or the measure of that discipline. You didn't have it before. They infilled you with what you didn't have, and now you are indoctrinated into nursing. Is that right? Come on, church. See, we got to become in the church. We got to become just as sharp as we is in every other field. We know all that other stuff, but we don't know the Bible. And we don't rightly divide the Bible, but we dividing everything else. We even not trying. I won't mess with that. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. But back up, because it says right here, therefore. And I already taught you, anytime you see the word therefore, therefore is indicative of what I said prior to what I'm about to say. So let's go ahead and go back one, since we see therefore. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, verse. Go back. Hebrews chapter 5. Go back to verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and it's hard to be uttered, seeing you are what? For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. He's saying now, since you've been in the church all this time, 9, 12, and it's time that you should be already out teaching and making disciples out of everybody else. But we got to go back to the first principles, because you really don't have it. This is what the Bible's saying now. Well, you can't talk to me like that. I'm not talking to you like that. Me and you are reading together. I'm telling you what he said. Because don't get in front of me and you don't have it. How are you going to take me somewhere you ain't been before? How are you going to be my teacher and I know more than you? The Bible says it's the blind leading the. So now let's go back so we qualify what we're saying. Verse 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be what? The first principles are the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of and not of. See, milk is just what you give those that's beginning into what something else. Strong meat is those that they already say they got it or they've been there 10 years. If you've been diligent in 10 years, you should have acquired a measure of. So he says, verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is what? Unskillful in the what? See, I'm not just coming up with something, but God said, I'm not going to leave you there. That's why we got to deal with this now. Because we've been coming and we've been doing all this. Now, I won't blame it all on the preachers because I believe some of them may have taught us well. But if we ain't been good students, you ain't been disciples, then you ain't get nothing. But I start with the head first and make it the preacher's responsibility to teach the people. That's why they come to hear you. Not to worship you, they come to hear you teach about him. So verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a. Now I bet not call nobody no babe. But that's the definition of a babe. But strong meat belonging to them that are what? Full of age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you have to been applying and exercising and learning how to use what you've been taught that you would be able to come up with the ability to discern between good and evil. You just can't discern because you came. You discern because you've been practicing and you learned what will work and what don't work. Now, since I said that, I'm in chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, based on what we just said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, he said the oracles of God. He's saying here the doctrine of Christ. Basically, what he's saying is we're leaving the principles of the teachings. There's some stuff is elementary, then there's some stuff is next level. So in order, before I can take you to the next level, I'm responsible that you should know the elementary. It's foundational. We got some folks trying to get on the elevator and go upstairs, and you have not even completed foundation. And now when you go upstairs and all that business happening upstairs, some of that can blow your mind. And I'm just going to lay this out. Thank you. I'm just going to lay this out so we can get out of here. Because I know you got to go. We can't do so much of this today. Therefore, leaving the principles, chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Now he's saying, let us grow up. Let us mature. Let us handle some deeper things. Did y'all know there are some deep things in the kingdom? It ain't all we who. That's all good. But it's some deep thing. It's some kingdom business that got to get done. And don't wind up in the business room if you ain't prepared. You're going to be like Donald Trump now. The apprentice, they're going to get rid of you. I had to throw that in there. Amen. But he says, verse 1. And let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation. He said, we don't have to lay this now because we done passed that and we're teaching at this higher level. That's why I say, don't come and go with me. Come and grow with me. You should be growing. You didn't come here to repeat what you just learned. You don't come in here to just go over all that foundation stuff again. But as a teacher, I need to make sure you got the foundation. Amen. He says, not laying again the repentance from dead works. Not laying again repentance from dead works. That's one of the foundational rocks. Keep reading. Faith towards God. That's another foundational rock. The doctrine of baptisms. Not one baptism. The doctrine of baptisms. 10 arms. See, there's at least 7 different baptisms. I'm just putting it out here so it can be on the record. You're going to come back so we can work through them. But there's the baptism. Listen, baptism into the cloud. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. This in your Bible. We're going to break it down and learn it. But there's the baptism of repentance. Luke chapter 3, verse 3. I know you already knew this, but I got to explain it to you so that it can make sure that your foundation is sure. There's baptism into his body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. This is the one everybody knows. There's baptism into water. Acts chapter 10, verse 47. There's baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. There's baptism into the fire. I mean, I know you already know this. I'm just rehearsing what you know. There's baptism into the fire. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Then there's baptism into his suffering. Yeah, you want to reign with him, but can you suffer with him? That's Matthew chapter 20. Come on, somebody. Verse 23. So now that's just one of the foundational rocks. So we got repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms. Then you got the laying on of hands. See, now this is one of the most misused gifts. Because you got folk running around laying on their hands and don't even understand what that is. They just thinking they doing something spiritual to put their hands on somebody. But that's really not what that is. In Acts chapter 64, verse 8, I can't put something, bring something out of you that God didn't put in you. I'm going to lay my hands on you and you're going to become, you can't. I can't make you be anything. The laying on of hands is a confirmation. I'm just to confirm what he already said. If he ain't said it, you ain't got it. I can get 3-4 people to put hands on you. That don't make you have nothing God ain't gave you. So you got, listen, repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms. You got the doctrine of laying on of hands. I mean, you got laying on of hands. That's one of the principles. Then you got the resurrection from the dead. That's a foundational rock. John chapter 11, verse 21 through 26. Then you got eternal judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. See, these are principles that anything you teach in all quality and all verification, it should come off of one of those rocks. Yes. If you can't connect what you teach and back to one of them rocks, it's not Christ's doctrine. Give the Lord a hand of praise. I know it. And I'm going to take my time and walk, because I want us to grow, y'all. We got our children. We got our homes. I mean, we've given ourselves to this. Don't you want to know? Yes. Don't you want to be instructed in the things of God? Don't you want to walk in the power of God? Don't you want the authority of God to be in your life? Well, that just don't happen. You got to know what God did for you. You got to know how to operate. I know the kids want to drive that car, but they don't even know how to get, you know what I'm saying, get the car out of gear. They don't even know how to. Now, you can't tell them they don't want to drive. They've been watching you pull out of that yard every day. They want to jump up in there. And the closer they get to age, the more they think they got it. But they never went nowhere to learn the foundation of how to drive. Can you imagine how dangerous it would be to let them kids have that car? God said, I'm not going to put you in ministry. I'm not going to give you the things of God if I have not taught you the foundation. And if you love God enough, you can thank him for not giving it to me. Because I might only get one shot. I don't want to blow mine talking about I felt good. You open up one of them doors and you scared and everybody else. And you the man, you the woman. God said, no, let me teach you the doctrine of Christ. Amen. Glory be to God. Father, we do bless you. While every head bowed, every eye closed, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your anointing. Father, we thank you that we have the desire and the patience to learn of you. Thank you, God. Help us to endure. Help us to go past what our soul want to do, what makes us feel good. Make us lie down in green pastures. Teach us the ways of the Lord so that we can be who you said we can be. We can even be who we saying we are. God, I want to be like you. I want to be more like you. For it's in you we live. It's in you we move. And it's in you we have. In Jesus' wonderful name. Now we bless you, Father. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for the anointing, the presence of God that's here to save, heal, deliver, and set free. Father, we give you praise. While every head bowed, every eye closed.